Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. I would have also to say buenos dias for our friends from Latin America who are here with us this morning. I think you already know the channel's numbers for the translation. Spanish is number 3, for those of you who speak Spanish, just in case. But of course, English is 1 and Arabic is number 2. The discussions, as per my earlier talk with the panelists, is going to be between English and Spanish. So I will start with English, and it will be translated into Spanish and, of course, into Arabic for those who need to. And then we'll start the session. This session is mainly dealing on the innovation in the government sector and what has been achieved in Latin America over the past few years. But allow me first to welcome our panelists. They are probably the one who have traveled the furthest distance, coming from Latin America. Some of them have an average of more than 16 or 17. It could be 20 hours, actually, flights. We really highly appreciate your availability for us here today and this morning in the UAE. And we are very much interested to learn more about the experiences of each individual country in terms of the implementation of smart governments. But let me first introduce my panelists and the speakers, starting with Mr. Gregorio Montero. He is the Secretary General of Latin American Center for Development Administration. And we have also from Chile, Alvaro Ramirez Alojas. I hope I pronounced it correct. And he is from the University of Chile, a professor. And we have also Mr. Ramon Ventura Camejo, the Minister of Public Administration from the Dominican Republic. And Mr. His Excellency Roberto Gallardo, correct? Because the L's and the Y's and so on in Spanish is a little bit different. I'm glad I pronounced it the right way. He's the Minister of National Planning and Economic Policy of Costa Rica. Gentlemen, very happy to have you here with us.
Thank you.
Now, with the total of almost population of close to 600 million people, and with a total area of almost 20 million square kilometers, Latin America in general, and during the end of the last millennium, it did face a lot of challenges, economic, political, and many others. With the start of the third millennium, we have noticed a change in the way Latin America was dealing. When I say Latin America, I mean the governments of Latin American countries and how they dealt with a number of issues. And one of the areas that they have focused on was the issue of the relationship between the governments and the public. And when I say the public, it means also part of it, the private sector. Of course, here today, I would like to utilize about 5 minutes for each one of the speakers to give us an idea of how each country have been able to manage and develop the what is called now the smart government, what used to be called as the e-government. And I would like to know also to draw the attention on how the UAE and many others in the region can learn from the experience and the development of these systems within these countries. So in this case, maybe I'll start with you, Mr. Minister, if I may. And please, 5 minutes for each. Thank you.
Muchas gracias. Primero que nada.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank, well, I'm going to give you time to wear these headphones, and when you are ready, I'll carry on. My 5 minutes start now. I would like to, first of everything, I would like to thank the UAE government for this invitation that we have accepted. We are very pleased to be here and explain to you some of the experiences that we are facing as countries. I would like to take 2 minutes to talk about Costa Rica, my country, which is a country in, located in Central America, a very small country with 51,000 square meters, with a population of around 4.5 million people. It's un país. It's a country that has had a very high growth. For example, education, we have 100% coverage, health also 100% coverage. Education is free and compulsory for all the population. It's a country that, according to alternative ways of measuring welfare that have come on the last years, and what is Jeffrey Sachs is going to talk tomorrow, many people consider, many studies consider Costa Rica the happiest country in the world. It's a country that where 25% of this territory is protected by any or other environment protection scheme. This has been key to our country. That model, that successful model that is based in a group of public services is started to show its limitations. And we have started to look in technology and innovation, the way we can renovate these public services and face the future challenges. For example, please note, here we have a situation with the public services, is that the thing that public services come out of a context which is specific for people. So let's say that the public services that were needed 60 years ago have been evolving in a way that we need to re-engineer them in order to adapt themselves to the new age. For example, when we talk about health, health is one of the most expressive cases. Illness that were treated 60 years ago are not the same nowadays. Nowadays, we have different knowledge that allows to treat health in a different way, in such a way. So therefore, we need to adapt the public institutions to this new knowledge. To this, and this new system requires a lot of creativity, a huge spirit of innovation in order to make sure that these institutions are adapted to the new, these new years. Something that's very important in this is that there has to be an organization, a legal framework that allows these reforms to be implemented in the institutions. Sometimes we realize that we need to make changes to the institutions, but our legal framework does not allow us to do that. That's the first thing I would like wanted to say. In Costa Rica, we have discovered that this legal framework has actually turned into a problem when we want to make changes to our system. I just wanted to express this reflection before we go into the issues that deal with technology that we've implemented in order to make sure about transparency in our systems. We want the way that the government works to be open to the citizens. So I just wanted to make a little introduction in order to give you an idea about the problems in Costa Rica and to locate Costa Rica in a framework that will allow me to give you more examples about how my country is trying to adopt this this innovation using new technologies. So that will be my first intervention for the moment. Thank you very much. Going to the next presentation, Mr. Camejo of the Dominican Republic. Good morning. We are from the Caribbean. in Latin America, and we are strongly impressed by the development that we have seen here in Dubai. In the Dominican Republic, we make efforts towards a transformation process that deals with innovation, technology, and communication. But we focus on the management because we want to understand that we have to offer good quality service to the citizens. And all this can be found in the excellence models that treat with management. These models that were created in the 1950s and that they were developed in later on in the United States and also in Japan and also in Europe later on. In our case, we are applying a common assessment framework that focuses on leadership. And yesterday I realized that here in Dubai, we focus on leadership. So we're committed to change a new vision within a framework of skills, motivations, incentives, so we can introduce this new way of thinking in order to change things in the benefit of the citizens. Also, we want to simplify processes, how to make the processes easier for the citizens, how they can be integrated. And for that, we use the new technology in the communication. For example, we use technology for the counters that offers all services. So in such a way that a citizen that is trying to do many papers in an institution, he can do everything in just one window. For example, with environment, legal, public works, tourism, municipal policy. So now we are making efforts so that a citizen can do all, can get all the permissions, all the licenses, all the whatever he requires in just one window. We're focusing also on the evaluation systems in a policy that allows to measure the quality of the services we are offering. And this happens in a culture that there is in a situation where there is no an innovation culture. But we are making efforts in order to have a new leadership that can price quality every year. So every year, the President of the Republic award prizes to people who have made these innovations. And we also check for systems that can measure how this new innovation is impacting people. And we are incorporating a system as a citizen for the right. It's a right for the citizens to have a proper quality public service system. We have optimized the state structure in a way that simplifies the duties of the public worker. And we're working on that. We are going ahead. And later on, I will talk in depth about the technology we are using. Thank you, Mr. Camejo.
The other. Next to you is also someone who represents an important country when it comes to the evaluation and on the competitiveness report at the level of the implementation of the e-technology in general, which is Chile. So I would like to know, you know, what is the reason why Chile have been able to take a lead in that regard?
Okay. Muy buenos días a todos.
Good morning to all of you. Thank you very much for your invitation. It's really an honor for me to be with you this morning. Answering to your question, I would have loved to start with a phrase of our famous poet, but we start when we learn how to make questions, the answers change. So the reforms that we're doing now is have to do with the way we can try to answer new questions made by people, citizens that now is empowered by the new technology. In that sense, Chile has been developing a process of innovation for almost 20 years. One of the main points of this strategy is to incorporate technology on the management, on the public management systems. In the last 4 years, this digital strategy is related to three pillars, three main concepts that are the basis of this digital strategy in Chile. We talk about a concept of a closer government that responds to the social needs in an open way, in a way more citizen to the center instead of center to the citizen. We are using social networks, technology, even Twitter, Facebook. Second concept has to see with the idea of having an efficient government, not just when we improve systems, but also when we use them. Another has to do with the systems that have been set up in the last years in order to have an open government, a government that incorporates transparency, public information, openness in its relation with the citizens and with other actors in the society, and also the rights to the people to participate in the way we improve the public services. In that sense, Chile has a strategy, especially in our institutions, through a decree by our president, was on November 2012. Some of the central ideas of this new normal, of these new laws, new regulations, have to do with openness of public services, that the information has to be provided on a raw format, so citizenships can see how the resources are being spent, how they're being used, and they can use that information in order to develop applications in the same way that it has been being done here in the Emirates. At the same time, this openness in the data allow the citizens to have more participation when we are trying to create public value to our management. So we are working in a way that will incorporate other factors in our management. So Chile at the moment is in a very important position in Latin America. We talk about technology systems, we talk about health, public services, health services, education services. And also, I would like to say something that the other two panelists said. If the situation in Chile is changing in the way that we're using technology, but there is something that has to be considered, that around last 4 years, we have implemented a legal framework, that talks about transparency, that allows the institutions to use technology in order to improve its performance. So in us like summarizing, when we talk about technological paradigm, we are not just talking about using tools. We're talking about having a framework that will allow us to get the best of this technology and make structural changes to our processes. And this is what technology has been developing in the last years. Thank you very much.
Viewpoint, which is basically on, we've heard, you know, three countries now, and they have explained their viewpoint on regard to the development of e-government or smart government as it comes to be known right now. But we take it now from another dimension, which is a more broader Latin American, represented by the Center for Development Administration. I'm sure there are common grounds in there which can be taken. When it comes especially to a group of countries such as also, you know, the Arab world, the GCC, and so on, from the Latin American broader experience on this regard. So I would like to know, concerning the role of the Center for Development Administration and how they, at the end of the day, coordinate with the different countries to implement such policies.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning. It's a huge pleasure for me to be sharing this hall with you. This morning that for my human body represents the very, very early hours in the morning. In my country, it's around 4 o'clock in the morning. People are still sleeping. But anyway, it's a pleasure for me to be here. I just want to talk a little bit about what does this Latin American Center does. It was created at the start of the 70s, early 70s, by the 26th United Nations Assembly in order to foment in the region innovation, especially in Latin America, exclusively in America Latina. This center has been growing in these 45 years of works, and there are about 25 countries members in this center. Although this institution is called Latin American Center, the truth is that it has actually an Iberic American representation. But I want to say that as this there are two more countries of the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal, that are also members of this center. So we have 19 South American, Latin American countries and two countries from the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal. So all the issues that have been said already are part of the strategy for all the region. We work on a line that talks about strategy, orientation. We also work on a way, also in a line of training. We have in our institution a school that all the issues that have to deal with the government renovation, public services renovation, are implemented through tools, working tools that are managed by this institution. Some of these tools are called cartas, cards. These are not compulsory for all the countries, but actually the countries adopt these tools in their own internal regulations. They are free to adopt them or not. For example, we deal with the Latin American Public Information Chart that talks about the way we manage public information in our country. And they are all implemented and adapted by each country. We also have the citizen participation chart. We have the good governance chart. We also have a Latin American electronic government chart. From our center, we have assume that our strategy is to put the benefits of the good government management closer to the citizens. There are sometimes when the citizens don't really realize, they don't feel the impact of these new measurements in the public services that they receive every day from the government. So our purpose, of this good governance electronic chart, is that the information technology will be placed in an effective way to the benefit of the welfare of the citizens. We have been promoting this chart in all the Latin American countries. Most of the countries, they have adopted already this chart. Some other countries are adopted in a way that has to do with their working strategy, everyday working strategy. All the issues that have to do with electronic government, based on public services, based on the fact that these public services can be available to the citizens wherever it is that they are located. when we talk about, for example, public contracts, we are going to have information open so we can make sure that everybody has equal information to this process of public contracts. So we want this process to be absolutely transparent. And the center, our center, manage all this information, all these processes in the Latin American region.
An idea of not only what I call cross-coordination at the level of the different countries, but also it crosses into other organizations that are very important to make sure that the levels of development that is happening within the Latin America is hopefully achieved at the same level, because this is very critical and very important. As I mentioned earlier, taking into consideration the size, the geographical size of some of these countries. You know, if you look at Brazil, Argentina, of course, Chile, and Mexico, and many other countries, and of course, if you take the islands of the Caribbean, it all provides for a big challenge for all these countries. But it's wonderful to hear the Spanish also, because we can hear also some common words between us and the Spanish language. Carta or charta is the same thing in both languages, and that is part of the beauty of this world that we have today. But let me also move you into another subject, which is if I ask you to look into the window, the future window, of the factors that will be shaping and impacting the future delivery of the service by the government, can you identify some of them, depending on each one of you as countries? So I'll start with you, Minister. Future.
Well, I would like to link it to what they were talking in the plenary session earlier today about the concentration of population in urban centers that is creating important challenges for public administration, not only in the sense of how services are provided to citizens, and also the organization of the public administration. Us in Costa Rica, we're initiating a project that enables us to create public administration centers outside the urban centers that bring the services closer to the population, so that they don't have to move to downtown and with all the problems that that brings in terms of traffic, utilizations of services, public services. So the idea is to create these centers in places that are in outside the city, where the public servants can go there and work there, and without having to go downtown in the capital city, for example, and having all this pressure in the infrastructure. In Costa Rica, we also the subject of transparency is also fundamental. We have developed a program of tenders with technology. So all tenders, all public tenders, are published in on the internet. And all suppliers are informed of these tenders by text messages, with emails, and the offers coming from the companies that bid for these tenders. Those offers are published. And in this way, we have trying to build this transparency, which is necessary in the purchase process of the state. And there's another element that is fundamental in the configuration of public services in the next 30 or 40 years, and is that the population is getting older. In our countries in Latin America, we're experiencing what in developing countries is happening, is that the birth rate is going down and life expectancy is increasing. So the composition of population is changing, and the population in general is getting older. And that imposes on public services big challenges that we didn't have in the past. And for this, it's necessary, especially in healthcare, that we use technology and so that we can provide better healthcare services. And this is the consequence of the inversion of the population pyramid. Another thing that has to do with innovation and the change of public services in the future is that we're using the oldest technology of history, which is people. The need to change public services according to the needs of people requires that public administration has to have a continuous communication with the people. And information technology is only a tool, but we have to have a space where people can communicate to the public administration what are their needs and what their demands. So that way, the state can innovate and change the public administration and adapt it to the new needs. From this perspective, in Costa Rica, we have launched a new system that we have done. There are offices within the administration that they listen to people and they bring the message to the institution so that the public institution can change and adapt to the new needs of the people. The Costa Rica state has 329 institutions. 100 of them has already this office. And this is also backed up by a law that was passed by the Congress in the past year. So from today, we can already implement these changes that enable and make these institutions legitimate for the people, and so that we continue to provide the services that the population need. Sometimes innovation, when we're looking for innovation, we focus too much on devices, on technology. But sometimes innovation can come simply from listening to people.
I move to Minister Camejo. I mean, your viewpoint on this. Future is very important for all of us. And government sometimes, you know, certain situation do not always make the right decisions. So in this situation like this, making the right turn, making the right decision on shaping the future for the proper government services is usually comes at the level of the different government organization. And I think one of the ministries that's making that decision in the Dominican Republic as your ministry. Can you give us a little bit on what are the factors that, future factors that you focus on to make sure that you make the right decisions when it comes to the delivery of government services future-wise?
Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to continue. I would like to share with you and all the attendees two tools that we're using in the government in terms of technology related to make the government more transparent. One is information system that creates an information base that provides the public servers. Who are the people working there? It's a way to
talk about promotion training salary policy in such a way that a unique tool in Latin America that deals with integrating everything on a same level, all the information on same level. This technology system was funded by the Development Bank in our country and makes our management transparent, makes the government management transparency, makes the access to information transparent, and then helps to promote to have a better decision making. We promote the scale competitiveness to can evaluate their performance, how do they behave in all the public process. Another tool that has a lot to do with information towards the public, it's a system that controls the public worker. It's a system that it's you can find it on our web page. It's a system in such a way that we can inform the public what's the duty, what's the task of any public department, and how are they doing this work according to the rules. And this information has to be published. They have to show to the public what the public services they can offer to the citizenship, in which way they can offer that service. And this gives way to a social control, to a audit control. The Dominican government has a strategy that wants to create an open government, a government that in which all the citizens have access to all the public services, which is something that is happening in other countries. Chile and Brazil have helped us a lot in this process. We also have good relations with South Korea. At the moment, we are developing a system called 911 about citizenship security. I would just like to say that yesterday I realized how high security is here in the UAE. So in such a way, we would like to be more familiar with the system, the way security is dealt here in this country. This helped us to create a system that will allow the citizenship or the citizens in our country to talk about how to feel more protected and to report any situation. Also, we want to have a system that will simplify public services. For example, how you can obtain driving licenses. For example, how can you automate customs. For example, how you can have access to different services. For example, when we are doing tenders, contracts. We also will share that information with Chile. We also share with Costa Rica new tools. For example, now Costa Rica has now 60 years of developing its public institutions, and we have a high degree of cooperation with Costa Rica in this sense. So there is a trend in all Latin America to develop systems that allow us to make high use of this technology, to share best practices, to have, for example, best marketing, to have social events in order to exchange experiences. We also want to have our new rules. They are all included within the framework of the charters that were mentioned before, especially in all that is related to skills training, in order to have online information, training that is that goes towards have a good diagnosis concerning what is not working well in our systems. And also, we are trying to implement these systems on the internet so the public workers can be trained online. And that since we have had cooperation with Spain, we also had cooperation with a French school in order to train high-level executives. All this is heading towards have a response to the future demands in order to develop and implement technology systems. and also to make these systems able to respond to the challenging and the citizen demands. In all the region, there is an updating process, a renovation process, a collaboration process. So in a way that we can all have a more legitimate state, a state that can respond better to the public demands, and to have a system that is committed to change. Sorry.
I've raised a quite important point, which is concerning the cooperation and coordination between countries, organizations within countries, and across even to regions. And I'm sure also the UAE is one of the countries that is willing and open to coordinate and maybe also contribute in terms of the cooperation that we can have. We in the UAE, we have quite a highly advanced smart government systems that is crossing all the way from the federal system, cross down to the local systems, which has, I can assure you, they are one of the best in the world, and we could learn a lot from that. But we also, in exchange, we could learn from your side in certain areas, because our target, our objective is not only limited to the UAE, but how we can enhance these kind of technologies toward addressing some of the challenges in other Arab countries which have a much bigger and larger population. So I think in some of the Latin American countries, there are certain experiments that have been implemented in there with some project that we could also learn from it and can enhance on that. But to move on to another area and another country, Mr. Alojas, I think we need to understand with the challenges that and the changes that is happening in the world as a whole, and specifically concerning Chile's future when it comes to e-government or smart governments, what are the main maybe points that you need to pay attention to in Chile?
Very briefly, I have a main idea. I think that there are no smart government without smart citizens and without public servants. They're in smart. The first challenge is the change of the paradigm of the 20th century. The state doesn't have the monopoly, the exclusive monopoly of solving problem solving. They have to get the support from the citizens and ask for their collaboration and bring what Richard Florida said. We have to take advantage of the abilities of citizens. Why don't we ask the citizens, what do they want? Why don't we develop a space where we build together, where we design together public services? I think that changing this is a big challenge. The second thing, more at an internal level, I think we're doing this in Chile pretty well, is the challenges of how we manage information inside the public service to optimize public services. The public service manage a lot of public information, a lot of data, and we need internal intelligence to take advantage of this data. To provide public services, we think we're really improving this. We're developing a strategy that is linked to the use of technology and how the public administration culture is changing. The third component, I would say, is what the Minister Altura Camejo just said, are the challenges of the active participation of citizens. It's not only listening to them, but we also have to talk to them through social media, especially. I am very surprised by what I've seen here in the UAE about the use of technology with citizens, this integrated concept of the public administration that is very close to the citizens through social media. I think this is the real path. And finally, I think it's a common challenge for everybody in Latin America. and also its transparency and openness, is that the government has to be seen as a platform where different shareholders are together to solve problems. And essentially what I'm saying with the technology subject, like this software, this e-government is compatible with a hardware, institutional hardware that is not always adequate. So we have to adapt, and this is the path that Chile has been following in the last years. Thank you.
Moving to the other dimension, which is more of an organizational point of view. Mr. Montero, if you let me know. Now, you are on one side of it, which is overlooking the coordination between all these different nations in that regard. So what are the challenges, future challenges, that you see when it comes to the implementation of the smart government within these countries? Because all of them, as we said earlier, they have a diverse level of development of the technology as a whole and the implementation of it in their countries.
Bien. Pienso que precisamente la inteligencia de nuestros gobiernos.
I think that precisely the intelligence of our government needs to understand that our continent has changed, Latin America has changed and continues to change and will change. Will continue to change. So the way to manage public administration has to be in consonance with this reality. We are much more active. We're going from a legal citizenship to a social citizenship. Our citizens are in the streets claiming for their rights before the public administration. So in this sense, governments have to put into practice this intelligence to give the proper answer to these citizens. So this is a very serious problem in terms of impact. In terms of the impact of the public service performance. And we think that this is reduced to a management problem. If we're not able to manage what we have towards facilitating the lives of the citizens, we will continue having difficulties. We are been doing well for now in this crisis, this global crisis, but we still have some problems to solve. So all of this regarding information technology, it could be used as a tool. That's very important to answer and to solve these changes and to make these changes more institutional. So the capacitation of public servants is really important because things are changing so quickly. We have to change the proceedings, the processes, and proactively. In this sense, the club is working in the region. We also have these subject that is we already talked about is the open government. An open government is a very important tool, not only because it's a tool to manage well, it's also a participation tool of people in public management. So I think this is very important too. The public and private participation, we cannot bargain, we cannot deny the role of government in the state is a central role. But we also have to understand that it has to be in a framework where the public sector, the private sector also participates in all the senses. From the club, we think that this is of capital importance. Also, the question of decentralization. So that's why today in Latin America we're talking also about the planification of the 21st century. The Costa Rica friends were bringing a lot about that. So all these problems that are emerging that we didn't pay attention in the past to, in terms of public safety and also natural disasters, we have big challenges to face. So the intelligence of our government will depend on our capacity to face all these problems that the new century is bringing us. So this is like a thing to change solutions. So that's why we are here. And it's very important, everything that is happening outside Latin America, what is happening in the UAE, or particularly here in Dubai, these are experiences that we can adopt and that will serve us to face other situations that we also face in our country.
Yo quería decir que además estamos en un momento de transición.
I wanted to say that we are also in going through a transition movement, transition age. So people who are responsible to form a government, like my friend Ramon and I, we have our age. Ramon is even older than me. So for us, technology is something that we have to learn. It was something that a wave that just came to us very suddenly, so it will take probably a generation to have people that can use technology in a natural way. People that can use technology in such a way that, for example, us when we were younger, used a calculator. Nowadays, today we use a calculator in a very very simple way, very natural way. So it will take a new generation that has been educated, has been trained under different technologies, different skills. This generation comes to our positions in the government. So this transition can be made in such a in a much more natural way, transition to a smart government. Of course, this will take place if we have more, if we give more access to young people, children. For example, in Costa Rica, we have made a huge effort in order to connect to internet all the public schools, well, to the network. At the moment, we have been able to include 96% of these schools, institutions in our public network. And from these schools, boys who are 11 year people, girls that are going to receive about 11 years of education that incorporates the new technology, where technology is something natural. These girls, these boys, this human resource will make possible the configuration of smart governments, as they say, well, they say intelligence 2.0. Not the intelligence 1.0 that Ramon and I still use. We're talking about intelligence that is based on the use of digital technologies in a natural way. So we are in this process, so maybe in the next 10, 20 years, the subject of a smart government it will be something natural, like everyday thing. But in the moment, we as governments, we have to keep on creating. We have given way to this knowledge by investing in education. So to make sure that the government in the future will have the proper staff to run the public services in the future in a smart way.
The end of the session. And I want to thank all the panelists because we have another session coming up also very soon. Really, we very much highly appreciate you being here with us. I think there is a need for us also to come over to and visit you in Latin America and look at some of these successful projects that you have had over there. Meanwhile, please utilize your time here to go and visit and look at some of the success stories that we have had here in the UAE in that area of technology. Thank you again for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.